Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today I have Bassem Imara. Bassem is a senior software engineer at Falafel. He has over 10 years' experience as a consultant and a developer for dozens of projects for educational, advocacy, nonprofit, small businesses, enterprise, and government organizations. Bassem is a Microsoft Certified Solutions Developer, a systems engineer, technology specialist, and business management solutions professional. His specialties include content management and e-commerce systems. He's also one of the nicest people that I've met. He was extremely welcoming when I came to Falafel, and I'm really happy to have him on yet another podcast. How are you?
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited about this.
Oh, good. So am I. We're going to be talking about some really interesting topics today. You wanted to start off by talking about the current and future state of JavaScript, and that is clearly a topic that is of great interest.
Yeah. I mean, when you asked me to do this, I was really excited to show you what I've in your audience what I've come around and come into. And really, the future of the web is JavaScript. So JavaScript is making a big comeback, and it really has. And so now, the current state of JavaScript is we're at an interesting juncture. So I kind of see the web evolving from Web 2.0 to Web 3.0, and we're in the middle of it. And so now JavaScript has gotten a big push from the 90s, where, you know, the days of the animated GIFs and maybe some Ajax here and there. But after that, now JavaScript is all grown up now, and really, I think we have the mobile revolution to thank for that. They really put JavaScript back on the map and made it really a coder's delight to use it.
Well, I'm going to push back a little bit. I do a fair amount of JavaScript, and I've been working hard at learning some of the libraries. I'm not quite sure I'm up to being delighted by the language yet. I mean, if you work in C# and you have the kind of compile time support and editor support, IDE support that you're used to with C#, JavaScript is not exactly a developer luxurious language.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because JavaScript has been a bowl of spaghetti for the longest time, and there's really, it's free reign to what you can do. There's no boundaries, which is of course a good thing and of course a bad thing as well. So that's another thing that we've been seeing recently in JavaScript, is that there's all these libraries out there that are really organizing JavaScript in a way where real programmers can start using it. So we come from the C# world, or maybe Java or PHP, and JavaScript is borrowing a lot of things from all these server-side languages. So for example, we now have the AMD, or the asynchronous module definition for JavaScript, where JavaScript's now a modular type of organization. You can organize functions and files now and keep them separate and pull them in asynchronously. So it's really you're pulling in your dependencies asynchronously, which is like the using statements on top of C#, for example. So that's one thing that's really made things a lot easier to deal with fully big, large scale JavaScript applications. There's a lot of other things too, in the current state of JavaScript, such as, the coming of the single page application type of hype, which is really, it's really the way that we should be creating applications now on the web. It's something that we should expect. But along with this is the implications of how you should organize your application, because it's not really just one page. It's one page with dozens and dozens of libraries and scripts and utilities. And that would be an ugly bowl of spaghetti to eat and maintain. So, with the SPAs came MVC. So now we have MVC on the client side, and we can organize it so that there's controllers, and CanJS is one example that really organizes JavaScript in a nice way. With MVC, there's also Angular, which is making a big hit right now. And then there's also the MVVM model, which Knockout kind of put on the map with JavaScript, and now Kendo's following suit. So there's all these kinds of, not technologies, but techniques that are starting to make their corner in JavaScript, and really we can use those types of things to organize and scale our apps.
Well, let me ask you about one of the trends that I have certainly noticed, which is that a year or two ago, jQuery was on everyone's lips, and everyone was learning jQuery and using jQuery, and that seems to be giving way to more of the data binding and MVStar libraries like Angular. And if you look at some of the charts on adoption, jQuery seems to have flattened out, and a couple of the others are really taking off.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. jQuery was more about manipulating the DOM or the HTML page, and then along came with the event binding. So you're binding events to the page, and as applications got more complex through the years for JavaScript, we started noticing that the event binding was just becoming longer and longer. There's so many events to bind onto the page. It was really becoming ridiculous. And then there was also event binding for things that are not even on the page yet. And so jQuery, doesn't seem jQuery was really designed for that. It was more like an afterthought, I think, because it's selecting things on the page, to me, is what jQuery was really about, because you're selecting with CSS selectors, which is brilliant. You're just reusing an existing technology like CSS, an existing language, and just making it objects. So that, I think, what jQuery shines in. And now we're seeing others think of different ways on how to bind things onto the page. And they're borrowing, JavaScript in general is borrowing a lot of things from server side. So we see MVVM, which is becoming much easier to bind hundreds and thousands of things onto the page. It looks like that's the way forward, or at least for another few years.
Is there a library that you have been particularly focused on over the last 6 to 9 months?
I've been using Kendo a lot. Kendo from Telerik, I think they call it Kendo UI. And it's a purely HTML5 JavaScript library. And their goal is to get rid of your Frankenstein libraries so basically what we do now, is get a whole bunch of libraries from JavaScript and just dump them onto this one application. So Kendo is trying to minimize that and trying to do everything out of the box, and they're backed by a pretty large company, Telerik, so they're putting the resources behind it, and they're doing a really great job. If they weren't, I wouldn't be using them. So I think they're doing a pretty decent job keeping up with all the libraries out there.
Now, I know that Kendo comes in commercial flavor and an open source piece. Does the open source piece include the framework support for MVVM, or is that in the more commercial part?
It does include it. It does include it in the open source one. It's a part of the core, so it's used for all three of their suites. So they have web, mobile, and DataViz, which is a reporting. So that's another plus of Kendo. They have different flavors.
Well, as a former Telerik employee, I certainly won't argue with you. It's my experience. I actually discovered Kendo in depth more when I came to Falafel, and it is a very powerful framework, and very quickly you can come up to speed and create very professional looking websites with their widgets. And the premise of their widgets is built on jQuery, where essentially you identify an item on the DOM and replace it with a Kendo widget. So it's very straightforward and very quick to improve the look and feel of your application.
Yep. We use it all the time for large scale enterprise applications, and it's really served us well. And yeah, like you said, it's just one giant jQuery plugin. So all the things that you know about jQuery can be used forward with it.
Let me take you in a slightly different direction. Another aspect of JavaScript that has been getting a great deal of attention lately is Node.js. And originally this was purely server-side JavaScript, which is an interesting and intriguing idea in itself, but it's also possible to I know that it is in some sense still server-side, but it's possible to download Node.js to your local machine and use it as a local testing server as much as a, you know, Big Iron server. So it seems to be making inroads in a number of different locations.
Yeah, Node.js is built right on top of the Google JavaScript engine, and it really made a big impact on the scene, because it, for all these years, we thought we can use JavaScript only on the client side, but now we're able to use it server side and have one language. So I mean, that's a really big plus, and it's so versatile that like you said, it's not really just for web servers, but if you need to create like a something you'd normally create with a command line type of batch script or something like that. Well, Node.js is used to build applications or to compile things or maybe to distribute things or just run a process all night. So it's a really powerful thing. I think there's still potential for it. I don't think enterprises trust it fully yet, although it is capable. I think maybe hopefully somebody will give maybe more attention to it, maybe some of the big guys like Microsoft or Google. That'd be really nice. But the biggest thing about it is that now you can have a full stack JavaScript application from start to finish, and what that includes is not just the server side code, but now with even databases like the NoSQL databases, some of them have JavaScript APIs. So you got the database running with JavaScript APIs like Mongo, and then you have the web server running on Node.js, which is JavaScript, and then you got your front end all written in JavaScript too. So you have a full 360 degrees that we didn't have just a few years ago.
Another big change that's on the horizon is the upcoming revision to ECMAScript. Have you been following those developments?
Yeah, I'm waiting anxiously for that because there's a lot of good things coming there.
Tell me about some of what's in there.
Well, one of my favorite things in there is web components. And what this means is that you'll be able to define your own HTML tags. So instead of, you know, having a span or a div, you can have a tooltip or a modal window, and that would be your tag. That would be your tag. And what's really interesting is that you include the scripts and styles in the page head itself, so that when you're importing these web components, you're just importing parts of the widget itself, and so now the whole entire web is no longer using all these kinds of hacks where you embed these script tags like YouTube tells you to do, or Twitter. You're gonna be actually pasting custom HTML tags, and what's really nice is we don't have to worry about pulling in style sheets at the right place or duplicating it. It's all self-contained. And this, I think, is going to replace the whole need for jQuery plugins. So with jQuery plugins, what we do right now is we grab the reference of the HTML element on the page, and then we call a jQuery plugin on that element, and then it manipulates it so that there's it injects some spans and divs and images and completely changes and manipulates the DOM for that part. Well, this is coming into the standard of JavaScript with version 6, and now that web component, all you gotta do is throughout your whole application, you're just gonna be opening custom tags and let the standard manipulate that area for you without worrying about what to pull in or when.
And what's the timing on this being released?
Well, let's see. So far, a lot of the browsers have it already, such as Chrome and Firefox. But for the other ones, of course, like IE, it's gonna take some time. I think IE right now, IE 10, does not have a lot of these things for ECMAScript 6, but IE 11 does. So trying to think if I saw this, because these dates actually change a lot. But from what I last heard is sometime at the end of this year that they'll be going through the draft again and maybe taking it to another draft version.
And my understanding is that one of the things that's potentially in there is real support for classes and more of a commitment to object-oriented programming.
Yeah, and that's another big thing with this is now JavaScript is not just growing up by the community. The community is not the one pushing it anymore. It's actually now the standards are now putting it in a place where it is object-oriented, which is we had to have all these kinds of hacks and libraries to do that for us. But now this will be built right in. And yeah, so classes are going to be introduced, and also a few other things like modules are going to be introduced. So you can import a module, which is basically JavaScript in a single file. And AMD is the one that really, put JavaScript on the map to doing that. Because if you code with the AMD specification, it's hard to go back. Once you start using Require.js, you can't imagine life without it. So now this is going to be part of the standard, and now this is going to be a really good thing here.
So tell me more about what Require.js does and why it becomes indispensable.
Well, what you do is with Require.js, and I really hope, if you don't know what Require.js, I really emphasize you should look into it and listen about this, because it's important. Well, what you do is define modules, and these modules have dependencies. So in your module, you wrap your entire logic up in a define and a define statement. So that define statement will have your logic, but then there's a parameter. The first parameter in the define is your dependencies. Your dependencies are actually paths, and these paths are paths to other JavaScript modules that are also wrapped in a define statement, and also have their own dependencies, which find their dependencies when they need. And those dependencies will call their dependencies, and so on. So it's a recursive type of dependency checking. But at the end, your module only cares about its own dependencies. It doesn't care about the hundreds of other dependencies that are behind it. All it cares about its own dependencies. But not only that, it wraps it, because it's wrapped in a define statement, it's scoping it so that it's self-contained, and you can pass that module around into not just different parts of your application, but even different applications altogether, because all it's worrying about is its own dependencies.
I think I followed that. Is how much of this is replaced by other dependency injection libraries?
Well, the dependency injections, maybe that's not really a good comparison with it, because I think the best comparison to it is the using statements on top of your C# classes.
Okay.
Or your import statements on top of PHP. Require for PHP. So you're basically requiring or importing other JavaScript files that you need for your logic. So you can import entire libraries. So you could import jQuery, for example, because your define statement or your module needs that dependency to execute. So you can have a whole list of dependencies. So your first parameter of define is actually an array. It's an array of dependencies that will pull them in to your module, and it'll pull them in through the second parameter. So your first parameter is an array of dependencies, but your second parameter is a function, and that function is a list of parameters. Those parameters map back to the dependencies. So for example, if your first dependency was jQuery, your first parameter for the function of define is going to be the jQuery object or a dollar sign or whatever you choose. And then you can use it within your define module as you like.
Mm-hmm. obviously you spend a fair amount of time in JavaScript for your work. Is that what is that the bulk of the work that you're doing for Falafel, or are you also working on other technologies?
I think nowadays, I think for the past year or so, it's been a lot of JavaScript. It's kind of like the whole balloon effect. So with an application, it's either client side or server side, and where do you want to put most of the logic or most of the juice? And now when businesses and consumers, they're expecting a lot more jazz on the front end and a lot more interactivity. So a lot of that is being taken to the front end for not just interactivity, but also portability, because JavaScript is it's platform agnostic. So it doesn't matter what you're using for the server side. So it's a good way to decouple your layers, actually force yourself to decouple your layers. And now you really have a UI layer if you're using JavaScript.
Yes.
So yeah, so now I'm doing mostly JavaScript and some for the server side, it's just mostly web services. So I use some web API. I've also used, I think it's called Slack for PHP. Mm-hmm. So PHP, I'm creating some web services there. And then also there's a server stack, which I haven't used as much as I'd like to. But it doesn't matter what you use for the server side. All you need is web services. And now you have an application that's decoupled and can be moved around very easily.
Yes. Yes, I've been spending a fair amount of time with Service Deck, and it is an extraordinary library, very fast, very lightweight. Interesting trying to compare Service Deck with what ASP.NET brings to the party. ASP.NET is clearly more powerful and more flexible, but Service Deck is in some ways more nimble.
Yeah, yeah.
You sent me some notes on what's coming in ECMAScript, and most of this I knew about, but you talk about arrow function. And are we talking about lambda expressions, or is there something else, or what is that?
Yeah, lambda expressions.
Oh, okay.
So, and you see, a lot of stuff are being borrowed straight from server-side languages. So now we're going to have, instead of creating a function with the word function, and then parentheses, the parameters, and then braces, and then your logic, you can just do a lambda expression with your parameters and parentheses, and then go on with your logic. So it's just basically replacing the function word,
mm-hmm.
but it looks a lot more quicker. It looks more script like, and it's a really welcome feature to C# when it came out.
And when are lambda expressions coming? They're coming along with the rest of ECMAScript 6.
Yes. Yeah.
Now I'm looking forward. Oh, if you're going to give me classes and you're going to give me lambda expressions and you begin to approach the kinds of functionality that C# offers, that's very welcome in my eyes to JavaScript. Have you spent any time looking at TypeScript?
I have. I haven't done a real world project in it, but I have looked at it. It does seem interesting that it kind of borrows a lot of things from server side and gives you classes and object orientedness.